fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks. On Friday, the 21st day of December, year of our Lord 2018, welcome to the John Moore Show. Well, the headlines on Drudge have to do with the ongoing dilemma in the United States Congress involving funding. We'll have a partial government shutdown at midnight tonight if they don't get something done. I know they've had these in the past, and I didn't miss anything. I don't know about you, but I couldn't tell anything different was going on. Prepper tip of the day. If you're traveling, and I know many of you will be traveling over the next 2 weeks, don't forget your bug-out bag, your bug-out kit. I do sincerely mean this. The time between Christmas Eve and New Year's Day is the most vulnerable time of any part of the year, for a lot of reasons. So don't forget your bug-out kit when you're traveling. We were hoping that Tom Berryhill would call in, but apparently he has not yet. If he does, we will have him with us, and we will talk about emergency survival communications. The second hour, we expect to have Dr. Leonard Wilbert with us. Dr. Wilbert has a new headset. He's anxious to try out his new headset, and he has a lot of fun doing the show every Friday. Okay, we'll have open lines. The call number is 800-313-9443. A lot of concern about the stock market, which is it's a casino, it's a fantasy, it's something that I don't believe any normal human being should be involved in, quite frankly. The majority of trading these days is done by computers, working on algorithms, making trades based on what happens in microseconds, literally microseconds. The building immediately next door to the New York Stock Exchange was purchased for one purpose and then one purpose only, to fill it up with computers to do trades on the stock exchange. And because of the proximity of being right next door to the New York Stock Exchange, they had a competitive advantage of being able to find out what was going on and respond microseconds faster than anybody else. That's how crazy this has gotten. if you think you can compete against that, well, good luck. Good luck. That's all I can say. It looks like we do have now with us my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom began a quest more than half a century ago to become very knowledgeable in anything and everything to do with emergency survival communications, ham radio, radio frequency engineering, and related topics. We're going to talk about emergency survival communications. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, John. Good morning. How are you doing today?
Really good. Tom, I make a lot of road trips, and some of those road trips I do take, get a rental. Typically, it'd be a small SUV, which comes with the standard radio equipment that any SUV does. So what I do, Tom, is I will use a temporary installation of the three following radios, a CB radio, a ham radio, and a scanner, using the 12-volt cigarette lighter plugs and magnetic mounts for the antennas on the roof. Typically, I run the coax through the driver's side passenger window, put the magnet mounts lined up one behind the other to have less wind resistance, and set the radios up. If I'm traveling alone, I just set the radios up on the passenger seat in the front. If not, I set them up on the console using whatever works, rubber bands and Velcro and so forth, to secure them so they're not flopping around, you know, whenever I have a quick stop or a quick turn. That allows me to do the following. I can listen to the truckers, which has not as colorful language as they did years ago, but still tends to be colorful. But they do issue warnings when there's accidents and construction slowdowns, which is very helpful. I can call for help on the CB radio if I need to, and I can monitor the police and emergency frequencies to have more information if I need it. That works for me pretty well, Tom. Have you ever had to do similar things yourself?
Oh, I've done similar things over the years. John, the equipment to use for mobile installations, though, in the old days was huge, and you had to put the radio unit in the trunk, and there were large cables that went under the carpeting in the car up to the control head under the dash. So it almost had to be a permanent installation. And then the smaller units came on the scene, and you could do exactly what you're talking about. So I've done similar things. I've done it both ways. And whatever works, I think, is what you do. So the only thing I don't like is using that cigarette lighter outlet in a car to power any higher power equipment. There's just really not enough current available there to do it properly. So you have to be careful with that. Otherwise, it works fine.
Well, typically, I don't do any talking. I'm usually just listening. I'm obviously on the CB. I'm listening to hear what's going on. I may make an inquiry with those guys to find out more details. Usually I don't. The scanner, obviously, is receive only. And the ham radio, I just monitor and have it on a standby to talk if necessary. I do very little talking on these radios, quite frankly, hardly ever. How about yourself?
Well, same, John. I listen quite a bit, and I listen on the HF frequencies quite a bit as well, but I don't transmit as much as I used to in the old days. I used to be on there a lot, but now I do the same. I listen, and of course, what you're listening to on the CB is really handy, especially if there's any road construction or accidents, and you can get rerouted and out of the way and continue your trip in an efficient manner. If you get stacked up in that traffic, well, all bets are off. And it's really handy to have those mobile units, especially in bad weather this time of year. That can be a problem, so it's handy to have that. If you do use a cigarette lighter plug, though, to power that equipment, you have to make sure that it's fused properly. Some cigarette lighters actually were not fused, and they went right into the battery circuit, so that's kind of dangerous. You should really look into that and make sure that is a fused circuit. And don't make the fuse bigger. Make sure it's only, usually they're around 15 amps. That's fine for most smaller radios. If you use any high-power equipment, that's just not going to cut it. Another problem with using a cigarette lighter outlet is you can get alternator noise on some radios. They just won't work properly. Mainly it's because the grounding circuit isn't as good. So it can be a problem, but in most cases it will work fine.
You know, it's kind of funny. We still call them cigarette lighters, although they don't. These outlets no longer have cigarette lighters. It's just the receptacle where if you had one, you could plug it in. These outlets now are just for all the various electronic devices that people have with them when they're in their motor vehicles. And typically, the modern motor vehicles have maybe one or two up front for the driver and passenger, and then another one or two in the back for other passengers. Although there's no ashtray and no cigarette lighter per se, just the outlets where one could be plugged in. It is rather ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I didn't think about that, but you're right. And like in my car, it does have a regular cigarette lighter. I think it is. I've never pushed it in to see if it heats up. You can plug into that, and then underneath that, towards the floor, there's another outlet, and it's marked 12 volts. So it works the same type of plug and all that, but I guess it's for auxiliary equipment like what we're talking about.
Yes. Well, the modern vehicles are getting so sophisticated and have so many options. I was kind of, it's not related to vehicles, but I was visiting my grandson's university, and I was in the student center, and student centers have had for basically more than a century, they had tables and chairs where students could sit and talk and read a book. But every table in the student center had outlets to plug in devices to charge them up. Welcome to the modern age, Tom.
Yeah, I see in hotels and things like that, I actually see USB sockets where you can plug in your phone to charge it and things like that. It's and they're built into the nightstand or the table lamp there. They'll actually have a USB socket there for power. It's amazing.
Well, that's what these were. They're both USB and regular 110 AC. And so these student center tables had both on each and every table. I was a bit I didn't know what to think when I first saw them. I just accepted it as being the way it is. But traveling in a rental vehicle, I feel vulnerable if I don't have that equipment with me, because I know the consequences, the possible consequences of not having it. And it takes 10 to 15 minutes to set up a temporary install with mag mount antennas, the radios themselves, the power. Typically, I will have one plug-in for the 12-volt outlet, and then have a three-port piece of equipment to plug in three radios that comes off that one outlet. Managing the cables and managing everything so that it's a fairly neat installation is not that hard to do with cable ties or Velcro. Velcro is easier because you can take it loose and use it again. Velcro ties. And just do a nice, neat installation where things are out of the way of luggage and passengers to have both the equipment you need for monitoring these frequencies, talking if necessary, and have a neat installation where other passengers and luggage are not getting in the way of all these cables and coax and so forth. But it gives me peace of mind knowing that I have that capability, that I'll know what's going on, whether I'm in a major metropolitan area or if I'm in the wilderness of Colorado or Wyoming or Idaho. You know, Tom, when you drive out west, you really get a comprehension about how terribly big this country is. It's a massive country, and it's a real wake-up call to see how beautiful this country is, to see how vast it is, and to be so grateful that we live in the part of the country we live in where there's actually trees and water, which once you get west of Missouri, you don't see many trees because there's not much water, is there?
No, there isn't. Traveling, you can drive for days, and, you know, that's what it takes to go coast to coast. So it is a huge, huge, vast country. You know, when traveling, John, I use the 2-meter ham radio, and I leave it parked on 146.52 megahertz. That's a calling frequency. And when you're on the interstate, you put a call, put your call sign out there and ask if anybody's listening. Yeah, it's amazing how I'd say 80% of the time I'll get a call back. Somebody's actually there. So and almost everywhere I go, and a lot of hams will have a taller antenna at home, and they can pick up your signal from quite a distance.
I would challenge you to do that on the interstate in the Badlands in South Dakota at about midnight.
Well, there are definitely exceptions to that.
It's like going across the moon. We got a caller on hold here. Lonnie in Idaho. Good morning, Lonnie.
How are you all?
Real good. What's in your mind, sir?
I have a couple of questions on your energy cleaner.
Yes, sir.
I take it that runs on 110?
No, sir. It did 20 years ago, but it runs on 9D as in Delta, 9D cell batteries, sir.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that way it could cause no harm. We were concerned, I should say Tom was concerned when he first saw that, about the obvious possible dangers of 110 AC. 9D cell batteries. Yeah, go ahead, sir.
How long do they last? Because I'm up here in the mountains of Idaho, and I figured I'd have to run 12 volts at least, you know.
No, sir.
So you
no,
just
sir.
Run on no, batteries.
You get your batteries from the dollar store once a year. We recommend changing them once a year because of possible leakage. All batteries all the time, these C's and D's, all leak at some point. So just change them out. It's going to cost you about $8 to $10 to change them once a year, sir.
Okay, because my wife wants me to get one, and she wants one, and she wants me to get one for the German Shepherds.
Well, I when I have dogs, I have one, and the dogs love the energy cleaner. What you'll find, Lonnie, if you have dogs in the house, that you can't keep them out of the bedroom unless you keep the door shut and closed.
Well, we do tiny cabin living up here, completely on solar, and so they're always in the house. I mean, they got a doggy, they're going to have a doggy door that go in and out, but they always sleep all the time in the house.
Right.
So we could just spread one out on the floor, a blanket, and they'll sleep on it.
Right.
But
I got
a question for Tom, too, also. A lot of the skiers up here are using the Link 2.0. I don't know if I call them a walkie-talkie or not. Have you heard of that?
Okay, Lonnie, I really don't understand the question. What type of equipment is it?
It's a Link 2.0, and it says that they could talk 6 miles even through the mountains here, and that's the name that I got from them. They call it a Link 2.0, and I don't know if it's a walkie-talkie or what it was.
Well, it sounds to me like it might be some sort of a device that is interconnected to the internet, or through the cell system. I don't know what it is. I've never heard of it.
Talk to the guy who knows about his equipment. Write down what he says and get back with us. How would that be?
Yeah, I will.
Okay,
I'll get back with you next Friday then.
Sounds good, Lonnie. We will look forward to hearing from you.
Okay, thanks so much for the info.
Thank you. You're welcome, sir. Call number is 800-313-9443. There's several different directions that equipment could be going, and it would be pointless to speculate right now, wouldn't it, Tom?
I'm not familiar with it. Link, it sounds like maybe that's the manufacturer, and 2.0 is the version. That's why I think it's perhaps software. Driven equipment that ties in through the internet. It sounds like it to me. I don't know.
It may be that, and we're working on half partial information here. If Lonnie can get that information, get back with us next week, then we'll be able to figure it out better.
And you know, it takes some serious equipment to communicate 6 miles in a mountainous area. That's a difficult job.
Well, that's my neighborhood. I can't talk 1 mile on most handy talkies in my neighborhood, depending on which direction the mile is. So
that's right.
Yeah. Here's our first break. Call number is 800-313-9443.
Here's a little song. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold...
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your...
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool. Town there I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in...
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 21st of December. It is Christmas Eve, basically, and we will not have a live show Monday or Tuesday. Archives both days. In the meantime, I am actively looking to employ part-time marketing people to market John Moore for speaking engagements. This is a part-time paid position. If you're a marketing person, if you know somebody who is, they can contact me at my website through my website at thelibertyman.com. We're talking about emergency survival communications. The call number is 800-313-9443. Well, Tom, I've been saying the last few days that the period of time each year between Christmas Eve and New Year's Day is the most vulnerable time in terms of the alert status of the U.S. military and all law enforcement nationwide, local, state, and so forth, federal. Here's the deal. Everybody with enough seniority in the U.S. military and all law enforcement, they get those days off, leaving behind the least experienced, least capable men and women with the least amount of knowledge and ability to do what needs to be done. Very low staffing in all the military services and, of course, all law enforcement, local, state, and federal. So if an enemy wanted to attack us, that would be the time to do it. So I encourage people to have a heightened situational awareness, that they have their bug-out bag with them when they're traveling, along with their emergency survival communications equipment. Right, Tom?
Well, that's right, John, and you have to be ready at a moment's notice. It's very wise to get that equipment fired up now when there's not a need for it. But you do have the equipment. Just get it hooked up now. Try it out. Test it on the air. Be very familiar with its operation. Most of the 2-meter and UHF-type ham equipment is relatively easy to use. The most difficult parts of them that I found is setting up memory channels, things like that. So most of the modern radio equipment allows you to set up alphanumeric designators for different frequencies, so you'll know what repeater you're on or what calling frequency and so on by name rather than the actual frequency number. So it's a handy way to do it, but it does take a little bit of effort to set those up. And John, all of the ham equipment that I've seen for 2 meters will also allow you to monitor the VHF public service frequency. So if they're still on analog systems and they've not gone to P25 digital, you can easily listen in and hear what they're talking about. Fire departments especially, we've talked about that before, where many of them have not gone to digital and they're still using analog type of radio equipment. They have gone to P25 digital. You better invest in a better scanner or a better type of equipment that'll pick that up. And a lot of the police departments have actually gone to that. And then many of them are going to encryption full time so that nobody can listen into them. That's very, very difficult to crack. So
it is. But there's ham radio men and women who make it their passion to make sure they can do that. Tom, we got a caller and holder. We got Dennis in Utah. Good morning, Dennis.
Morning. Morning, John.
Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Tom.
Yes, sir.
With regard, this is Dennis in Central Utah. My handle's my call sign's KG7IKJ. I think your last caller was referring to a 2-liter link system in the Intermountain West out here. We use a lot of those. Our particular system here in the Intermountain West, we're linked with 22 VHF repeaters, and they're all linked with 440 centimeter link repeaters. We can talk extensively for hundreds of miles. Our one system runs up the I-15 corridor all the way from southern Nevada clear into Montana. And then our other system here covers three-quarters of the state of Utah, southern part of Idaho, western Colorado, and clear over into eastern Nevada. We do run a lot of remote bases where we have 70-centimeter repeaters that listen to the 146.52 simplex frequency, the national calling frequency, and then retransmits out on a 440 frequency, and we can listen to travelers running up and down the I-15 corridor clear over Nevada in case of an emergency. And a lot of us operators monitor those frequencies. So I'm sure your last caller was referring to a 2-meter link system, and they use a lot of that out here in the Intermountain West.
Okay. That's good information. Tom, you have any follow-up on that?
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Yes, I really wasn't thinking about that, setting up a link system. But that was commonly done. In fact, John, there's a few of those here in Missouri in our area. So it's a popular way to go. And yes, that's most likely what Lonnie was referring to. I was thinking of an equipment manufacturer called Link, and there was one years ago called Link Communications. And I thought maybe perhaps he was referring to that. I thought it was a specific piece of equipment. But what's being described here is really something that's popular in mountainous areas where the hams will. And it's amazing that this is all done with volunteer efforts, John. It's not these are not commercial systems, but they will rival some of the best police and law enforcement type systems out there. In fact, sometimes the ham radio operators put so much effort into it that their systems far surpass what the law enforcement's using. And because many of these guys that set these things up work in that industry. I mean, they're in the two-way radio business, and they know how to do it, and they do it for police departments, so it's no big deal to set up their own on ham radio frequencies that work in a similar method. And so, yes, it's very easy to talk tremendous distances on those systems where they're interlinked like that. And many of them are tied in through the Internet as well, so that you might be in Los Angeles, but you can easily link through that through the web and talk to somebody in Idaho.
Dennis, I have a couple questions for you. Do you monitor that link system yourself very much?
I do, 24/7.
And how busy? How busy is it?
Some days busier than others. Most of the time you can get on about any time you want to. Another thing we do is we have a lot of RLP nodes linked into the system, so we can use RLP, Internet Radio Link Protocol.
Hold that thought. Let's finish that after the break. We got a break, everybody. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Only live twice.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I said again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the Internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 21st of December. Quick reminder, I do have energy clinics for sale. If you have arthritis pain, joint pain, what are you waiting for? Get yourself an energy cleaner. Not getting a great night's sleep? I get one every night. I get a great night's sleep every night. Wake up refreshed. You can also. What a great way to start the new year with an energy cleaner and a mattress pad to go with it. Everything's right there at my website at thelibertyman.com. And I have a toll-free order line 24 hours a day. Here it is, 800-592-9543. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on an energy cleaner. We're visiting with Tom Berryhill. We're talking about emergency survival communications. We're getting some updates from Dennis about how they do things out west, aren't we, Dennis?
Yes, we are. You know, we have a lot of nodes set up on the IRLP, that radio link protocol, and also Echo Link, if you guys are familiar with Echo Link. So you can access our system from actually anywhere in the world on your cell phone. That works out pretty good. Another thing, too, I would like to mention is that most all our repeaters on these remote mountaintops are not hooked to any grid power. They're all solar and wind-powered. So in a grid-down situation, our system should still be up and running. So there you go.
Appreciate the update there, Dennis. Don't be a stranger. You're welcome to call in any time.
All right.
Okay.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, sir. Merry Christmas to you. The reason for the season, the birth of our Lord Jesus, right, Tom?
That's right, John. Yes, that's right. We say Merry Christmas. You know, what was being discussed there about these systems, they are quite complex, and the ham operators that set these up are very skilled. And they, like I said, many of them do work in that industry, so they have the equipment to calibrate and adjust and set these things up. And what Dennis had mentioned, many of these, if not all of them, most of them, are wind and solar powered. John, you would not believe how remote some of these things are. They're on mountaintops, and
I've driven past.
Well, no, there's almost no driving up there. Sometimes the last mile or so is you're in a four-wheel drive and you think you're going straight up. I've been up in these parts here in the Ozarks. I've been up on some hilltops to work in these systems, and I thought that was rugged, but no, out west these guys.
Well, Tom, we got some time here, so I'm just going to a friend of mine, you know my friend, I'm not going to mention his name, he asked me to help him with an installation of a couple of radio antennas. The Radio Shack was at the bottom of a 200-foot cliff, right next to the Merrimack River, and the antennas were going at the top of the cliff with coax, and this, we're talking a vertical cliff. So I volunteered to do the install of the coax, which meant first of all we had four. I guess it was five because we needed a little extra. Five 50-foot garden hoses that we connected together and ran the coax through the garden hoses. The purpose of the garden hoses was to protect the coax from squirrels because squirrels think that coax is really tasty and they eat it. So we ran the coax through the garden hoses, coiled them up. I was able to hike to the top of the cliff with the coil of coax, and then using my rock climbing gear, I rappelled down the 200-foot cliff while tying off the coax on various cedar trees and pine trees, whatever I could find along the way, about every 20 feet or so. About halfway down, I had to find another, and I already had the place picked out, find another suitable anchor point for my climbing equipment because my ropes weren't long enough, and then rappel down the other half of the cliff while tying off the coax as I went down and got to the Radio Shack at the base of the cliff. It should have been videotaped because it would have made a great YouTube video. But we got it done. We got the install done, and that install was in place for probably 20 years or so.
I remember you talking about that before. You know, 200 feet with a piece of coax cable is quite a distance.
It was a lot of weight. The weight of the coax and the garden hose, we're looking at about 75 pounds probably when I started out. Of course, it incrementally got to be less weight. But you first walk over, it's a leap of faith. You have to have complete trust in both your equipment and your skills when it comes to rock climbing and rappelling. And most people do rappelling as a sport, which is fun and so forth. But to do it with 75 pounds of coax looped over your shoulder, it takes on a whole new meaning. But at least I was doing it in daylight. In the Army, we rappelled with 50-pound backpacks and weapons and helmets at night. That was really a challenge.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, you know, the other problem is, depending on what frequency band you're operating on, that type of coax, I don't know what type you use, but I would think you'd almost have to use HELAX cable. And if I was going 200 feet, I'd be using 7/8-inch HELAX. You want to talk about some weight.
It wasn't that thick. It was a heavy coax, not quite that thick. It was professional installation with, the best quality at both ends, as far as the antenna and the transmitters at the bottom and receivers. And everything was engineered, of course, to deal with the conditions that we had to deal with.
Yeah, you work with what you have at hand, but I would warn anybody going those kind of distances, I wouldn't use, you're probably using RG8 type cable, and I wouldn't use that for 200 feet, John. I think you'd be amazed if you had X amount of power down at the radio equipment, the transmitter. If you got up to the antenna and measured it, you would be surprised how much less you have. There's quite a bit of attenuation.
That's a given.
And then
you lose
the receive signal as well. So you do everything with decibels, you know, and you have so many decibels of loss. And so there's a lot of engineering that goes into this. You know, talking about these mountaintop installations, I've seen them to where they're up so high, they don't even have a tower. If they do have a tower, it's maybe 20 feet, and that's just because they have to mount multiple antennas, and they use it actually to hold the antenna brackets. And in some cases, they just put the antenna on the side of the building because it's so high, they don't need any towers. The mountain is the tower itself.
But, that's right.
Yeah, and, you know, John, those systems are set up, and they'll go up and test them, get them calibrated, check everything out. Usually do that maybe once or twice a year, depending on the installation, how complex it is. But once those things are operating, they leave them alone, and they are so remote. I mean, they could have many feet of snow up there. You can't even get to it unless you go with a helicopter. So any type of maintenance has to be done in good weather, and then you just hope for the best. Usually those systems are pretty hardened. They'll stay running year-round with no problems. Remember the system that I set up in St. Louis many years, about 45 years ago, and it was on top of a building. So the conditions were much, much nicer. You know, the antenna was out on the roof of the building. It was a 15-story building, and then the radio equipment was in a cabinet inside, they called it the elevator penthouse, where all the controls and the building maintenance guy had an office in there, but it was really quite a nice installation compared to what you would have to do on top of a mountain. Sometimes they would even have the equipment in a cabinet that was bolted to the side of the tower. So the tower is just installed in the ground, concrete, and then a few feet up there's an equipment cabinet bolted on there, and some of those even have heaters in them to keep the equipment warm. Even though some of the equipment had tubes in there for the transmitter circuit, they would still get relatively cold in the winter, and that could really affect the operation. So they had heaters that would come on with a thermostat inside that cabinet. It was just bolted to the side of the antenna. And this might be on a mountaintop in the middle of nowhere, but it worked quite well. That stuff was rugged and worked great. I'm impressed by anybody that sets up something like that, John. These interconnected systems can be quite complex to engineer, but once they're running, they run very well. And I know a lot of the, like Dennis who called in mentioned, you know, they cover a vast area and they listen to the simplex calling frequency. So those guys they're out there, and I'm always impressed as to how often I can put a call out on 146.52 and actually hear back from somebody on the interstate, whether they be traveling or somebody operating from home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, what I hope we're doing with this conversation is stimulating some interest in people, men and women who would like to have the capability that we're talking about, the capability of having reliable, instant communication, no matter where they are. And if you're back east, everything's somewhat close by. You can't go more than 10 miles and not find some type of government of some sort, a fire department, a police department, a sheriff's department. But you get out west, there's literally, now, even you don't have to go that far west. Here in Missouri, Texas County, Missouri, we have 113 counties, Missouri. Texas County, Missouri is larger than the state of Rhode Island. So, and that's just one county. So when you get out west, even farther west than Missouri, there's vast areas where there's really no human beings at all. Many square miles that are totally uninhabited. And We are at a point, of course, where cell phones work on interstate highways most of the time. There are some caveats there, but most of the time. But we're not always on the interstates, are we, Tom?
No, we're not. And you know, John, I focus my interest and my focus is on point to point. No repeaters, no infrastructure. You carry the infrastructure with you. It's the radio equipment, and I prefer HF. And I'm talking about a lights out, all out emergency where everything's down. And that's where the HF systems will shine. Now, Dennis talked about the mountaintop systems that are powered by wind and wind generators as well as solar. And they would continue to operate under those conditions. What I like about using HF portable equipment is that you can change frequencies. And it's very difficult to do that with some of these repeater systems that are on a mountaintop. They're specifically tuned to a single frequency, and they operate there. And I know there's some that can change frequencies somewhat, you know, several channels, but to have total control of where you want to transmit and receive with a portable radio is what I focus on, and that's on the HF band. So with that type of equipment, you don't worry about where you are. If you're in a mountainous area, you can use the lower frequencies and just actually bounce the signal off the ionosphere, and it comes back down, and you're communicating over a regional area or even great distances using that type of equipment, and you wouldn't become isolated or be in a dead zone or anything like that, because the equipment would always be able to get through. And that's my focus anyway. So I try to encourage people to look into that if they have any interest in emergency communications. I really think the long haul and even the regional and even some of the short range would be with that type of equipment if we ever had an all-out disaster.
Well, it's unlikely that ham radio operators, licensed ham radio operators, would ever be even 1% of the Americans in this country. One half of 1% would be a lot of people. It's a tiny community compared to over 300 million people, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, that's very true, yes. I don't know the exact numbers anymore, but I think there's probably around 650 or 700,000 licensed ham operators in the United States.
Right, right. Well, it's less than one half of 1% of the population. So it's a small community, but it's an educated community. It's a dedicated community. It's a community of men and women who almost all of them are interested in emergency preparedness, aren't they, Tom?
Yeah, well, a lot of them. And a lot of the hams are casual operators. They get on, they like to talk and see how far they can talk with their equipment and just chit-chat on the radio just like you would on the phone with somebody. And they meet people that way and discuss their interests and so on. There's all types of roundtable nets where they get on and discuss different things. Then there's others that are interested in preparedness. There's quite a bit of that for sure. But there's also people that are on there that are interested in the technical aspects of ham radio. That's my main interest. I've always been more involved in the technical side of things than anything else. But I enjoy all parts of it.
Well, Tom, back in 1967, I was designing on paper how the communications equipment I would put in the Triumph sports car I was intending to buy at the time, which had a real complication because British sports cars back then, all British cars, had a positive ground as instead of a negative ground, which is an issue to deal with, but we can deal with it successfully. And I'm not going to try to describe it, but it was basically the space behind the two seats, which is big enough for a suitcase, would have been filled up with communications equipment, which would have been state of the art in 1967, with a CB and ham radio transceiver and scanner and so forth. At the time, it would have been large and heavy, and really sucked a lot of power, wouldn't it?
Oh, a lot of power. You know, John, some of the equipment back then that was trunk-mounted, I know for instance, some of these Motorola radios could be positive or negative ground, and you had to make that determination at the time of installation. So they could operate either way. They worked either way. And they were trunk mounted, and then you had the control head and the microphone and the speaker and everything up in the passenger compartment of the car. They were big. Those pieces of equipment were big. They had a carrying handle on them. You slide it out of the trunk. They had a key lock on there. You turn the key and undo the cable, and big giant connector that plugged in numerous wires in there. I'll bet you there was 30 wires in that thing. You'd slide that out, and you could carry that unit away. They always had a carrying handle because they were so darn heavy. I think the Motorola unit I was using back in the early 70s, I think it was probably maybe 40 pounds or so. It was very heavy. It was a Motorola Motrak. And some of the hams listening will that have been around a while will know what that was.
Absolutely. Okay. We got a break. Here's our last break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
All right, We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday. It is Friday, the Friday before Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. Well, Tom, it's been a fast hour. We've covered a lot of territory. And as always, our goal is to stimulate some thought, motivate people, encourage people to please consider getting involved with ham radio. Right, sir?
That's right, John. It's as anybody listening today will notice, it can go many different directions. We talk about very simple pieces of equipment. And, of course, Dennis called in and was describing a very complex system that covers vast areas in the West where they would need something like that. So you can work on equipment that's real simple. You can get involved in some very complex systems and everything in between. It's easy to get started. It's not as difficult as it was many years ago. The regulations are still there, but they've been relaxed quite a bit. It's not hard to do at all. And if somebody would just give it maybe 2, 3, 4 weeks of could be intense study, but start working at it, I really think in less than a month you'd be prepared to get your first ham radio license. You'd come in at the technician class, and then you could advance from there. And I always describe it as an on-the-air apprenticeship. So you get your equipment set up, and you'd be talking to the people in your local area and maybe greater distances and learn as you go. And most of the hams are more than willing to help you get started, help you set up your antennas. Anything you're not sure about, some of the members have already worked with that, and they'll prevent you from making the same mistakes they did. So we help each other, and it's a lot of fun. It really is.
Absolutely. We got our last caller here for a real quick comment. Jerry in Texas. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning. Good morning, Tom and John. Quick question. Portable HF equipment. What is your preference, Tom? I've got what my buddy calls a shack in a box, a YZ-857. But do you have a preference?
Well, Jerry, I'm looking at one of those right now. That is the unit that I've used in the car, in a pickup truck. I also have an ICOM 7000, and that's an IC7000 made by ICOM. That's a very good unit. But that Yaesu 857 is a very, very nice piece of equipment that covers the HF bands all the way up through UHF. So you can operate AM, FM, single sideband, CW, or Morse code. Digital modes. You can do all kinds of things with that piece of equipment. It's a fantastic transceiver.
And it's about a shed, and I've got one. I'm still very green, but it doesn't take a lot of energy either.
Jerry, they don't take a lot of energy till you start transmitting.
Jerry, thank you. Tom, thank you. We're out of time.
Thank you, Jerry.
Have a good weekend, folks.
Thank you. Good weekend. Here's our top of the hour break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. you will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.